when we begin to look at that, we'll see that the church that was brought into Christ, that was the first step to, that was just a birthing place, and the birthing place was there to be changed, to be brought into a relationship or a new lifestyle that started an eternal purpose. Hallelujah. And so we see up until this time that there are some pretty horrible things that have popped up in the church that he calls the Christ. And if we'll just relax and realize that the church is on a journey, I'm thinking about making a PowerPoint up on the journey, and I'm not sure if I want to say the journey forward. I'm not sure how I'm gonna what I'm gonna use with the journey, but at this time we're talking about the church and those that are in Christ, and so up until this point, we're still dealing, in 6 we started to deal with the condition of fornication. Those that, of a woman that, that he didn't, you know, that he was jealous over. He just didn't want her to commit fornication. He wanted her to come to him and repent, and then God would forgive her. And this is the case for us, is that we would repent of those things that God reveals that are sin to us. Too many times we try to tell other people what sin is because God's revealed it to us, and he may not have revealed it to them. We have no idea where other people are living, for sure. Even though they sit right alongside you, you don't know what they hear and what they don't hear, unless you ask them and they tell you. Come on. I don't need this running like this now. Just boot up for me. Well, let's read a little bit, and who wants to do something that can't. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is a good for a man not to touch a woman. So go to the next one. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Kind of simple, right? Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and coming together again, that Satan tempt you not for your innocency. This has got me bugged a little bit. But I speak this by permission and not by commandment. And in that word, just go back there for a minute, and if I ever get my E sword up, it's supposed to be up, but it's not running for whatever reason or another. That word for permission is actually, it's two Greek words. And it means that it wasn't just Paul talking alone, but that he had counsel with other believers like him, of like minded, and they actually give us a broader exact word there, because it's pretty cool. Let me see, we are in verse 6. And I'll go back to a couple more. But this one here comes from two words. Phallo is the first word. It's S-O-N-G. S-O-O-N-G. And it's G-N-O. May. It's snag gon may. And it's a compound word meaning it comes from fellow knowledge, that is, a concession or a permission. And so it would be like we would be talking about this matter in the church. They came up. And so I really, it's amazing how we preach words and we think that we have all the answers when we need to listen to one another, consider the question, and then consider what the word of the Lord says concerning the question to bring an answer. And so, I use this word sometimes in a marriage ceremony if they want it. But most people in today's society don't even know what benevolence means. I wonder why we get married today. What's the object of getting married? To have a partner. Hallelujah. But for God and for us as those that are in Christ, there's been another dimension come to us where now we've been added to, where now the masculine and the feminine are brought into the same house. And we're becoming one, like God wants to become one with us. Pretty cool, huh? Now get this. Go up to about 4, honey. Let me take a look. Go to 3. Go to 3. Go back up to 3. I want to show you something. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife to the husband. And so it's not a touchy subject, but it's a very beautiful subject if you look at it in the light of love. Physical as well as spiritual. We know what it looks like physically, but many times we really have a hard time spiritually coming to the same understandings. Mainly because we want that to be private. But that's not what God wants. God don't want to be private with you only. He wants to bring you into Himself so then you can expand like He does all the time. And so when this came up, we think that our society is a society that don't get married. But in the region where Paul was had his biggest church, Ephesus, they worshiped the god Diana. What do you think they're doing? What do you think they're doing every weekend? I'll refrain from what we call them. But they had sex parties. That'll be the very simple place. But and so this isn't nothing new. But to those that are in Christ now, to this new church, we already find out that there's stuff going on that ought not be going on in the church. But it is. So what do? Kick the church out? No, we give them instructions. Because now we're walking and we're living in a resurrected life. You have to believe that you're already in the resurrected life and you're walking towards a maturity. If we live like that, we think like that, we behave like that, then we must give ourselves allowances to grow up, to come up into Him. And as we're growing up, we must give others allowances to grow up. You don't know where other people live. You don't know where they come from. You don't know the frame of thinking that they have. You don't know. And I don't either. I mean, there's no way that we could know. I remember when I was living in sin, I didn't think it was bad. I wasn't trying to kill anybody or do anything like that. But I didn't think it was bad. I thought I was doing pretty good. Be honest. Let's be honest. Well, see, some of you have never been outside of Christ, so you don't know. But I did. And now that I have this new life and I'm living in this new realm of thinking and this new realm of government and this new realm of behavior and this new realm of feeling and this new realm of satisfaction. This is pretty cool, huh? This is what he was saying. And so he's talking here really about the husband and wife now. Acting like God. Now go to the next one, because God is really our husband. And the wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. And if the wife doesn't operate like that, she's missing out. Now listen to this. And likewise also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. It's a beautiful situation. Because you're totally dependent on one another. In the most intimate ways. Pretty cool. Now, this is actually, I believe, is talking about the body. Fact is, if you want to know what the word body is, I'll give you what the word body is. It's a sound whole. Wide application, literally, figuratively, bodily, body, or slave. And so it's your body. Hallelujah. But what's happened here in this little incident is you become one. Not just in conception only, but in the very acts of conception. Pretty cool. It's wonderful, because you're learning how to become one. You're learning how to become both come together and become one. Let me tell you something. When you have your first child, you really wake up. And so we like that. We like that. But when the kid comes along and you have no idea what personality they're going to have, you have no idea what behavior they're going to have, you have no idea none of that, but it's your responsibility. When you take on that responsibility, you take on the whole thing. And now, the two have become one in a physical sense on earth, as now it's called family. And how many whatever siblings you have. What happens with the Lord as we take on this new lifestyle? Will you take this? I'm going to give it to you. And hopefully we don't have to erase it or be misunderstood. But could you conceive, could your spirit conceive with his spirit to the same relationship that we're talking about here with a man and a woman? Where when God speaks to you something, that you'll do your best to do it, finding out that he'll be there, because you see, he takes over there. But you took over by giving yourself. And then in the Spirit now, are we getting this? And then the Spirit of God takes over inside of you. And if you never had any kids yet spiritually, it's none other than a revelation of this resurrected life. Just one part. That has become, you are convinced in, and you're walking in it. And he's walking there with you. And it's no longer you walking, but it's him. But it's you too, because you've yielded yourself. Now you're the demonstration as well. And it's settled in your heart. It's settled in your mind. It's settled in every part of your being. And you find out that there will be personality situations. There will be behavioral problems. And if you don't know that God with you has given you that and will strengthen you and will trust you with that, that you will be able to maintain it in every kind of a situation. And that's just one. And it's just a part of developing, just a part of growing up, just a part of coming into this resurrected life and now living and walking it right here, right now on earth. Every place you go, no matter where you are, no matter if you're shopping, no matter if you're driving your car, no matter if you're walking the dog, no matter if you're changing a diaper, no matter whatever you might be doing, he's there. And there will always be things that would want to interfere or restrict this way of life. Opinions, misunderstandings, all kinds of things, different behavioral things. Isn't that wonderful? That as you see, because do you really know that when you ask for something, that it's, I don't want to use that word, I'll use a different word, but it would be totally misunderstood, but it would fit in this. I'm trying to think of another word for it. A forwardness on your part to God. My dear God, are you hearing this? You have a question and you don't have an answer, but you know that's got to do with God and his righteousness and his kingdom, and you press on him you go to him. And one of the ways you go to him is you'll be diligent enough to look up the word. Now you've touched him. And if you can believe it at that very moment of questioning by touching through his word, that he will respond with an answer out of his word to you. You can understand. That's a husband and wife relationship. Isn't that crazy? Hallelujah. But it's the truth. Hallelujah. Okay, and so then it says in 5, it says, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent. And what's really cool about this is, I just looked up the word, I'll tell you what it is. The word for consent here is 4859, and it's sum, and it's phonos. Sum phonos. It's a compound word again. It's sounding together. That is accordance, neutered as a noun, agreement, consent. Isn't that cool? For a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And it's pretty interesting about the word fasting. It has a whole run on that, fasting. And I'll tell you what, this word is nace, it's N-A-C-E, tie, N-A-C-E-T-I, ha. Nace, it's either nace tie or nace tia. And it's abstinence. Abstinence. And it's from a lack of food. Or, listen to this. Voluntary and religious. Specifically, the fast of the Day of Atonement. Now that's what that particular word means. It says fasting and prayer. And now think about what I just said concerning... so many little things on this pad concerning your intimacy. My goodness. This is what the word does to me all the time. Speaks to me. That's why as you study the word and you read the word and you, God makes definition. Here, make a definition for you. Now, there were certain things that only came out through prayer and fasting. That's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, how come we couldn't do this? How come we couldn't do that? He says, because you haven't prayed and fasted. You haven't prepared yourself. You haven't did the fast of the Day of Atonement. You haven't prepared yourself for the situation. And many times, there's a preparation in order to receive the declaration. And that's what prayer and fasting is for. And you should have some kind of a regiment of it. It doesn't have to be as religious as you think. It doesn't have, you don't have to, you can just abstain from whatever God tells you to abstain from. Something that you're, that you love really a whole lot, and it's kind of got you. So abstain from it. I'm doing it for a little bit. If he tells you to. And it'll be just as effective as if you take a 40-day fast. Now, you may want to abstain from everything. You may like everything. far as food. But when I was working, most of the times when God would tell me to fast when I was working 12 to 16 hours every day or more. And I mean, I did that every day. He'd tell me to fast coffee. At that time, I was drinking 10 to 20 cups of coffee a day. It was just easy, warm, and never seemed to bother me. I liked it. And it wasn't little cups, usually. And so, but that was what he told me to do, to prepare myself. Well, I do other things now because I have the time, and also I'm in a different situation. So whatever situation you're in, don't think that you can't fast. Or that, because you can. And it's not what I tell you. It's, you see, this wasn't an everyday thing. This was when something came up that was beyond the both of you. This was something that came up where I believe that there was an agreement between the two, and both were fasting and praying. Because we need the answer. You need to walk in this resurrected life. And guess what happens? As you do, and as it's settled for you, doesn't mean that that's all there is. It means that you have now been established in the fact that this is how it's going to be, and there's more to come. And what will happen is, you walk different, you talk different, you act different. And you're not depressed, and you're not worried, and you're not all strung out. But you could be if you didn't have an answer. You could. And so, and we have the answers. And this is what Paul was talking to the church. And so here it was man and wife and so on. And so I'm just doing a little bit of spiritual understanding here for you. And so the word defraud there is a Greek word, apsoteriao. Apsoteriao. And it's a derivative to despoil, defraud, destitute, kept back by fraud. And so, what's that say to you? Can I ask you that question? What would that say to you? Somebody tell me. I'm asking the question. Defraud ye not one another, except it be consent. What's it say to you, Danny? Absolutely. God forgive us. But it goes on both ends. It's not just for the husband. It's for the wife also. I tell you, we could get this straight in the church. We'd be on a running scale. We wouldn't be walking anymore. We wouldn't even be trotting anymore. We'd be running. because we'd be careful enough not to hurt one another. And we have the answer. We're going to fast together. You got a problem in the house? Well, he doesn't listen to me. Well, she doesn't listen to me. I just don't know what to do. First thing you have to do is suck it up. Come together. Talk about it. And then start to pray about it. Because the most precious economic and social, spiritual and physical satisfaction that you'll ever have is a loving wife and a loving husband. And you'll have that if you keep it, value it in that manner. All the days of your life here on earth and beyond. God said he'd send them out by twos. We think that two preachers would go out together, but I got news for you. Who says he won't send out mom and daddy, husband and wife, huh? What better example of a Christ-like nature than a husband and a wife who become one? There is no better example in all the universe. And he has it. And we can have it. Glory to God. Now, I didn't know this was going to come out like this, but that's all right. So, for I would in 7... Okay, but I speak this by permission, and we did that. Go to 7. And not by commandment. You see, there are things that God will do for you where it doesn't have to be a commandment. It's the way you live. You don't tell somebody else how to live, but they don't tell you how to live your life in Christ. You've come to this understanding and you've come to this purpose that this is the way to go. And you don't need a commandment to do it. You just want to live it to its fullest. But I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Now that's pretty cool. And I think we've really misunderstood that deal. I really do. I think that too many times we want to think that it'd be better not to be married. But that can't be so. It can't be so. If it's just me and Jesus... Just me and Jesus. When I'm gone, me and Jesus is gone. Selfish? I don't believe that's what he meant. I believe what he's doing is, he's speaking to the church. And then he says, not in my suffering. And we'll see that, whatever he says that. We'll see that he's making some definition here. But be careful that you don't think, because it could be easily thought of, that you'd never marry or that you'd be like him without being married. But let me tell you something. It's a bigger challenge to love one another than it is just to love Jesus and me. And I can't say that about Paul, because all these churches were mentored under him. And he was the father. And you know who was the mother? Here? The Word. Instructor. Let me tell you something. In a home, it's the mama that's responsible for educating the children. It's daddy's responsibility to make sure that they're trained to love their wives, take care of their kids, and to bring home the bacon. That is skills that God will teach him through the Father. Because the Father has skills. He's a tradesman of some sort. It's not wrong that you pour into your kid. It's only a God-given desire that your child follow in your footsteps with everything that you have and become greater. That's the Father's nature. That's what the Father wants to do. He'd much rather see his kids not have to struggle like he did. So he teaches them everything he knows so they don't have to. And it bothers them when they want to go down the same path of hard knocks. They don't have to. And as a husband and wife in the church and that, begin to think about living your life as a mentor. And you'll see. God will honor that. But it will take work. Because the two have to still become one. And just let you know, there's a couple things here in my little tutorial of sorts here. Commentaries. Paul eventually gave this advice in reference to the necessity of the church, or what he called the present distress. For it would be perfectly absurd to imagine that an inspired apostle would be the general discontinuance. Marriage. Would in general. Discontinuance marriage. Since it was the greatest importance to the existence and happiness of future generations and expressly agreed to a divine institution. Isn't that cool? Pretty cool, huh? I love these. I love my computer. Glory to God. And so, we're finding here that could be easily misunderstood and has been misunderstood many, and preached that way, the wrong way. Not what Paul was talking about. He didn't just talk about everybody becoming one to take and tell them, well, I wish that you'd be one like me and Jesus. But what I do believe what he was saying is that the two of you become one. I do believe that that's the message. And in every marriage, you want to see what real happiness is? Lay down your vices and become one. And that's an ongoing process. But thank God, aren't we glad that we have obtained some? I am glad that we are moving closer and closer to that full reality. Okay. Now, so, the next question comes up, and let me just open it up a little bit. Are you there, Luann? She's not there. You want to go back? Give me the next verse. She disappeared. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 8. Comes the next question. I say, therefore, to the unmarried, the widow, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. And so we just deal with the we'll go back up to 9 on it. We'll just deal with 8 and 9. And go back up to 8, and we'll just deal with these two, and then I'll call it a night. And I say, therefore, to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. I do believe that once you've been married, and I'll be misunderstood, but that's all right. I do understand in the age in which we're living, but I do also understand that if you stay married in the midst of your struggles, that you'll find out that God will bless you because that's His desire, even in a lot of bad situations. Say, will God do that? Yes, He will. Because the first thing couples do when they get married, the first thing they do spiritually together is when they get married in a Christian marriage. They submit one to another and God as their mediator or the third party. That's why prayer and fasting, praying together and fasting together is very important in a marriage. That you get together, you pray together, you fast together, you agree on things, and you make room for things. And if you have a marriage like that, then it'll be awful hard for you to marry somebody else and forget about what you've already got established. I got a neighbor. He's 88 years old. He went to Sunday school when he was a kid until he got into the service. But that Sunday school never left him. He was married to his wife 35 years. She got cancer. She died. He took care of her right up till she died. And beyond. He got married before it was 3 years. Because you're lonesome. Because you're used to a woman. You're used to that. This is what he told me. He said, Danny, if that ever happens to you, absolutely do not get married for the first 3 years. And I think he knew what he was talking about. Because he did get married to a lady. She just up and left him. She called the cops on him. Tried to kick him out of his own house. And you know what? Whenever we're talking, the only wife that he's ever had is the one he had for 35 years. That's the one who he talks about that influences his decisions, how he did things, how they did things, how they accomplished things, what they were able to do together. Because you see, we never do anything alone where we become one with another one. Never. It always takes two to make the things work right. I'll tell you what, I really feel for the single parents of today. I think that's as far as I'm going to go today. I'll just take that ninth verse, but I really feel bad about the parents today that are single parents. My mom was, and she always struggled. I mean, she did a good job. But she struggled because she always was, she had this little chip that, why do I have to be the responsible one all the time? Why do I have to make sure? And she never would, it wasn't until later years she said, why did I have to always have all the responsibility? She made sure we were fed. There was no welfare. We never had a welfare one. There was nothing like that out there. There was no daycare. There was nothing. And she had four boys. And she worked hard. And so I feel for those that are single parents, because you know why she really got married? Why she kept a man in her life? So there would be a man in her boys' life. Because she knew that they needed that influence. Takes the two of us. But I needed the mama. See, as a boy, I needed mama and daddy. And because mama was the teacher. Dad didn't teach us. Taught us lots of stuff later on, but I mean all the basics and the character training and all that you see the important part of our character and that and the civil part of us and all the mechanics that go along with that. Mama does all that. She does the best job. She knows just how to do it. God's created her and given her that wonderful gift. Believe it or not, she can do it in the church as well. There's a little ones in that. She knows what's necessary. Number nine. And so, I believe that that's why Paul said that. I really do. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it would be better for them to marry than to burn. Hallelujah. And when it comes to the physical, there was always a demand to be united as a husband and wife. And that desire, except God take it away, is a natural desire for birthing that God has given us, because it's always been God's purpose. We are never coming to the place where we're not going to keep seeing one generation after another. God's universe is big. Who He has chosen to be seated on the throne is incorruptible, immortal sons of God. For His whole, it says the whole creation, and I believe it's when He said that, I don't think that He misused the word. The Greek word is creature, but the whole creation, I believe that it's still being created. We're not going to run out of things to do and new adventures and new ideas and stuff like that. We're not going to run out of them. But we're going to have to be dependent upon the Lord. And this way of life, this resurrected life, now puts us into a sphere or a motivation of life now that will give us all the proper tools in which now to apprehend or to lay hold of these giftings. And maybe next week I'll do a little bit on the giftings, because you see, we all have gifts.